Your level of clarity will literally make or break your career pivot. That's why in this episode, I'm sharing the 5 things you need to know and clarify before you even consider pivoting into a more fulfilling career path. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I share quick insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who was able to turn my own frustration from being in an unfulfilling career into the framework I now use to help other women find their fulfilling career and job search with confidence. Let's dive in. I'm really excited about today's topic because, like I said, I'm going to be sharing 5 things you need to know to find a fulfilling career. And as I was taking these notes today to prep for the session, I wanted to be very intentional about making sure that the things I share with you are, I don't think I've shared these together like this in a package, so to speak. I might have talked about it here and there. And so I'm hoping that today's session will really help you pause and evaluate how you are thinking about finding your next career move, right? So if right now you're in a job that is, you're not happy in that job, you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're trying to find something else, I'm hoping that today's session will help you pause and take stock of, hey, have I done these things before I attempt my pivot, before I attempt my transition? So I'm very excited to share these 5 things with you. Now, is this going to be absolutely everything you ever need to know to find a fulfilling career? No, it's not. But I do think these 5 things I'm sharing today are foundational to you finding a fulfilling career. They're foundational to you finding work that you enjoy and that you can thrive in. So I'm really excited. If you're not ready to take notes, I hope you, you've grabbed a notebook or you have, well, if you're watching on your phone, you can't go to the notes app. So grab a notebook, grab a pen, take some notes, open your laptop, the notes app. If you're listening on the podcast, just listen later when you can take notes somewhere else or go find the show notes. A couple of weeks ago, I went live and I talked about how to make a career pivot when you've been on one path for years. If you missed that episode, it is live on the podcast now, the Fulfilling Career Podcast. So definitely check out that episode because it was really good. If you're someone who has been in one path for, I would say, over 7 years and you are worried about transitioning because you feel like you can't do anything else because you've been in one space for so long, that's a good episode for you. How to make a pivot when you've been in one path for years. But during that session, I got this analogy. You know, y'all, this is a sidebar. One thing I really love about the work that I do, whether it's when I'm teaching live like this, when I'm coaching, it's like, I always say, I think it's the Holy Spirit. Like I'll get these random analogies that really, to me, make sense. And they seem to hit for my clients. I'm like, ooh, that was a really good analogy. And so 2 weeks ago, I got a new analogy that I had, again, never said before, but it came to me during the live session. And it was this idea of, because I was talking about pivoting and we're talking about planning and scanning, one thing I realized is a lot of times the women I know, when they're trying to pivot to do something more fulfilling in their career, they very often will transition without a plan. It's almost like, I hate this job, so I'm going to go online and start looking for a new job, right? Like, I hate this job, so I'm going to go online and find something else. I'm going to go on LinkedIn. I'm going to go on Indeed and just start applying so I can get into something else. You are jumping into a new role out of desperation and without a plan. And usually what happens when you do that is you end up in cycles of being stuck, right? It's okay. So you jumped, but then 3 months in, you don't like that job. So now you do it all over again. And then you jump again, 8 months in, you don't like that job too. And it's because you were making these pivots without a plan. Simply, Donna said, that's me. Okay, so I think this is going to be good for you. And so the analogy I gave was, and I was like, I don't play basketball. Okay, so if somebody here plays basketball, feel free to, you know, drop in the comments, drop in the chat, let me know, you know, how I can finesse it or if it sounds right. But in my head, like, I've watched enough games to know that, okay, if, you know, a player is bouncing the ball, right, like they're trying to go to make a shot and there's people in their way and they're like, you know what, I need to pass this ball off to a teammate so they can make the shot. They don't just like say, oh, there's people in front of me, there's barriers in front of me, I need to just throw the ball. They don't just like throw the ball to somebody. What I've seen happen is while they're bouncing, while they're moving, they'll scan, right? Like they'll do a quick, they know how to very quickly look and see who's open. And I might need to like take a half step to the left or a half step to the right, whatever it may be, so that I can throw the ball directly to the person I'm aiming for. Like they're not like, I think of like my nephews. who play basketball right now. And the youngest one, I've watched some of their games, and the youngest one, he's better now. This is like last year. I would watch, and like, he would be running. He would just literally throw the ball to empty, like nobody. And we're like, Tammy, who did you throw that ball to? Like, what are you doing? He did not scan. He did not pause. He just thought, let me just throw the ball as close to the goal as I can, or to the shot, or basket, I should say. So the point I'm making here is, before they make the pivot, they've already scanned to see, okay, what direction do I need to pivot in to know who I'm going to throw this ball to? And then when I throw it, they catch it, they make the shot, hopefully they score, yada, yada, yada. And that's the same or similar situation when it comes to making career pivots, is you can't just look up and say, I hate this job, boom, I'm going to jump into something else. There has to be a bit of scanning that you do to figure out, okay, I hate this job, but what direction do I need to pivot into? What direction am I going to pivot into to know if I'm going to make the next step, I should say, as successful as possible? What direction am I going to pivot into to ensure that the next step I make is going to be a bit more fulfilling than what I'm doing now? I'm going to enjoy it a bit more than what I'm doing now. Okay. And so that's where these five things come in. I think these five things that I'm going to share, five things that you need to know, are your way of scanning. They are a way for you to scan to get a better sense of what the direction is that you need to go before you make that career pivot. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump right in. The first thing that you need to know to find a fulfilling career is you need to really understand your belief systems. Too many of us are walking around being driven, being guided by belief systems that are not based in evidence, that are not based in fact. But because we've believed a thing for so long, we've assumed it's the truth and we are letting it drive our actions. So, you know, I'm holding up this pen. It's a purple pen, right? Regardless of, you know, what screen you're on, unless you're watching this in black and white for some reason, I don't know what, this is purple no matter what. You can believe that it's black, but the fact is still going to be that it's purple. That's a fact. And so your belief system doesn't trump the fact, right? You can say, oh, I think it's black. It's like, yeah, you think it is, but it's not. And what I think a lot of us forget is that your beliefs are not facts. Those are two different. If something was a fact, you don't need to believe it. It just is. This is just purple. Whether you believe it or not, the color is still the color, is still the color, unless somehow it fades and it becomes like a lilac or something. And so when you believe something, especially when it comes to the workplace, when you believe something around what is possible for you at work, what kind of jobs can you get into? What kind of opportunities do you have access to? A lot of times those beliefs then drive the actions you take. What you believe about yourself will determine if you apply for a job, will determine if you leave a job that you hate, will determine if you even try to transition into a specific industry. Because a lot of times, and again, like I said, we don't pause to think about this, but if you have been telling yourself stories like, oh, I'm not an artist. And this is, okay, so let me back up. This is actually, I'm thinking of a specific client. I remember I worked with a client in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. And when we got to the point where we were doing research, she talked about how design and graphic design had been coming up for her in the past month of our working together. And she realized that she had been pushing back on that because from growing up until now, she had been telling herself, her mom had been telling her, she had heard messages that she wasn't an artist. Art was not a real job. And so even though graphic design was showing up as a legit, like we know that there are graphic designers out here who are making like buku bank, like they're making money. She was still telling herself that that was not a legit path for her specifically, because she believed she had heard stories in her head that she was not an artist. And so she kept closing the door to that opportunity until she brought it up in one of our coaching sessions and we had to process, okay, tell me a bit more about where that's coming from and what's happening here. And it was through that conversation when we realized, oh, growing up, her mom had told her she wasn't an artist. She had tried some art projects and they didn't look good. And so she had told herself she wasn't an artist. And now here comes her years later as an adult. And that story is still playing in her head to where, even though there was this really legit career path that all the signs were pointing that this is something she would truly enjoy and thrive in and find fulfilling, she kept like turning away from it, pivoting away from what she should be pivoting towards. She kept really talking herself out of even attempting to go in that direction. If we had never had that conversation, she wouldn't have known what was driving her. And she might have just kept saying, you know what? No, graphic design is not for me. And just, you know, moved on, right? Like she just might have never tried it and just tried something else and kept ignoring what is now a really legit fulfilling career path for her. Are y'all tracking with me? Drop some hearts in the live chat if you're tracking with me. Because what I'm trying to say here is that a lot of us get messages from childhood. We get messages from society. We get messages from workplaces right now. We get messages from television, from the media, about who we are, the kind of work we can do, and we internalize those messages. And sometimes we internalize them without knowing that that is what we're doing. And so when it comes time to look for a fulfilling career path, when it comes time to transition, those messages start playing. But the way it happens is it's playing in the background. So it's been playing, honestly, it's been playing for so long and now it's playing in the background that you're not even aware that it's playing. You just hear it and you just make decisions. You don't pause to actually say, hey, why am I about to make this decision? Why do I keep thinking this? Why do I keep ignoring this option? We don't pause to question the stories, beliefs that we have been telling ourselves. And what then happens is we keep making these career choices that don't lead us to our desire, which is to be fulfilled, to be satisfied, to enjoy the work that we're doing. I see the hearts. Okay, great. Thanks. So it's tracking. And so it's important that you first scan your belief systems before you pivot. Figure out, okay, what have I told myself about the world of work, about myself as a professional, about what is possible for me in the world of work? What have I said to myself about the kind of work I can do? Because you want to catch any belief systems that might keep you from that fulfilling career. Okay? The second thing you need to know to find a fulfilling career, the second thing you need to know is your ideal work environment. The second thing you need to know is your ideal work environment. And I think a good place to start with this one is to even first check, what don't you like about your work environment now? Because I think it's very easy for us to say, okay, I hate this job, without pausing to ever actually say, okay, what do I hate about this job? Is it the hours that I'm working? Is it the people that I'm talking to? Is it the way that I get instructions? Is it the relationship with my manager? Is it the company? Like, what is it about the space that, and when I say space, this could even be virtual, right? Not just the physical office, but what are meetings like? What is the pace of the work like? Is it too fast for you? Really pause and check in and say, okay, what is my ideal environment? And that starts with, what don't I like about my environment now? Because you might realize, you know what? I'm around people all the time and I don't like that. I realize that I'm always in meetings. I'm always talking to people. I'm just always talking. And I never get the chance to really sit down and do deep work and get creative the way that I want to. And so my ideal work environment might be a space where, yes, I occasionally have team meetings, but I get to go away and really get into my deep work and use my creative skills that I want. It's important that you understand your ideal work environment because the work environment drives a lot of how we feel at work. The work environment drives, and again, I really want to reiterate, work environment is not just the physical, like where I am right now. It is the virtual space, the way people communicate, the way people, what happens in meetings, how are meetings run? How is information communicated? What is the pace in which you have to deliver tasks? How soon or how quickly are you given tasks, right? So what's the pace of the work? What are the hours? What is the environment like when you're working? Do you always have to be on Slack or do you always have to be in this big community room? And maybe that's where you thrive. So maybe it's the opposite where you are always alone, working isolated, and you're like, I don't like this. I don't like working by myself. I never get a chance to interact with people. Really clarify your ideal work environment because that will help you know what you're looking for when you actually start looking at options. Right. So before you make, like, that's part of your scanning is, let me scan my work environment right now. And based on that information and based on what I know about myself, based on what I know about how I interact with people in my personal life, how I interact with people at work, what kind of environment do I want to be in? And so once you clarify that, it helps you then start figuring out what kinds of workplaces you'll want to go into. And this one is going to be driven by your non-negotiable values. Okay, so your ideal work environment generally is driven by, because your values are your boundaries. Your values are your boundaries at work. So once you clarify what values are really important to you, is it creativity? Is it diversity? Is it compensation? Is it high earnings expected? Is it independence? Is it autonomy? The values that are important to you will drive the moments when you feel violated at work. Like if you think back to work and you think of times when you have really just felt affronted, you felt like angry and annoyed and like somebody literally like somebody stepped on your toes. Usually if you trace it back, you'll see that it's because a value of yours has been violated. And so when you clarify your values, it will help you see what kinds of work environments you'd like to be in. I think of one of my clients who, she's someone who had been on one path for 16 years and she had kind of been climbing up the ladder. And she realized that in the process of doing that, she had moved from, you know, working to now leading teams and leading departments, managing people. And she had never paused. She was just going through what she thought she should do. And she had never paused to really examine if that was what she wanted. And over time, she found out that it, in fact, was not what she wanted. She found out that, like, and this is when she clarified her values, she realized that she had been managing people, but she didn't like being around people like that. Like she wanted to do work autonomously, do a lot of research and writing. But here she was day in, day out in meetings with people, managing people, giving feedback. And she did not enjoy that at all. Like she did not like doing that, but she never paused to question the things that had been driving her up until this point. So it's really important to clarify your ideal work environment. And that starts by clarifying your non-negotiable values. Okay. The third thing you are going to need to know to find a fulfilling career is your ideal industry. Your ideal industry. When we think about the world of work right now, there are so many industries. Y'all know this, right? There's healthcare, there's entertainment, there's finance, there's education. And every industry has its own personality, right? Like if we think about tech versus healthcare, like industries have their own personalities. And I think sometimes what I've seen happen is that sometimes you're looking for a job without really pausing to say, okay, what industry aligns with the kind of impact that I want to make? Because not every industry will allow you to be impactful the way you want to be. And one of the major keys for a fulfilling career is that you're doing impactful and meaningful work. We all have this deep desire to feel like we're making a difference in the world, a desire to feel like we're making impact. And so the industry you're in is what will allow you to channel the kind of impact, the difference you want to make in the world. So for example, if you're someone who really wants to impact children and change the lives of children and how children see the world, then maybe you want to go into education or nonprofit. But if you're someone who wants to impact physical health in a sense, like how people live, like you think physical health impacts life wellness, then maybe you want to go into health, wellness, fitness, healthcare. Or if you are someone who wants to impact the world by creating products and technology, really that makes life easier for people, then maybe you want to go into tech. Maybe you want to go into product development. So it's important to really understand, who am I? What's important to me? And that would have started for the second thing. When you clarify your values and clarify your work environment, you will start knowing what's important to you. And then start thinking about, okay, the different industries that are out there, which of these industries will actually allow me to make the kind of impact that I want to make in the world, to impact the group of people that I want to impact, right? Is it a specific cultural group, a specific ethnic group? Is it a specific age group? Like, what is the mark I want to leave on this world through my career? And that's driven by your industry. And so when you clarify, and one thing I also think of is before I say what you need to clarify, when you think about if you have been feeling bored at work, so if you're someone who has said, I'm feeling really bored at work right now, I'm feeling really unmotivated, it's because you are doing work that you're no longer interested in, work that you don't feel like it's impactful, work that you don't feel like is allowing you to make a difference. And so when you're doing unimpactful work where you don't feel like you're making a difference in the world, it's usually because you're doing work you're not interested in. And so the thing you need to clarify here to figure out your ideal industry are your interests. What are those topics, those ideas, those concepts that really drive you? Because those are the things that when you're researching it, so if you're on work and you're researching something for a presentation, or maybe you're researching something for, I talked about product development earlier, or you want to put together a new curriculum for children, like I said, if you want to do children, right? Whatever it is, when we think of our work, regardless of what you do, there's a level of research involved. You have to read either articles or read reports or read the updating trends in your industry so that you can do your work well and effectively. When you are doing work that you're not interested in, then there's no desire to grow in it. When it's literally like you start going through the motions. It's like, okay, I can wake up and I do this in my sleep and then I go back. Like there's no drive to grow. There's no drive to learn more. And you don't feel like you're making an impact because that drive is not there for you. And so to figure out your ideal industries, you're going to want to clarify and your interest, because that's what drives the industries that are most aligned. And it's important to know that I'm saying ideal industry, but it could be more than one. Okay, I'm not saying that, oh, you're going to say, hey, I want to work in healthcare, and that's the only industry you ever look into. It might be that based on your industries, you realize, okay, I could do really well in finance, but I could also do really well in tech. And so those are the two industries I'm going to focus my efforts on as I try to make this pivot. But the first thing to do is sit back and clarify what interests me right now, what engages me, what are the topics that really drive me, the ideas, the activities, the concepts that when I'm doing them, I actually lose track of time occasionally. And then start to think, okay, which industries are involved with this kind of information? So then that will drive the spaces that you focus your efforts on. The fourth thing you need to know before you can find a fulfilling career is your day-to-day. What do you want your day-to-day to look like? And I want you to think of your day-to-day both in the work environment, like what does your day-to-day look like at work? Excuse me, as well as what does your day-to-day look like outside of work? Right. So literally from when you wake up to when you go to sleep, that's what I mean by a day to day. So how do you spend your times outside of work? How do you spend your times in work? And so if we start with the work piece, thinking about things like your work tasks, how is your time spent at work? What kind of activities are you doing? Are you spending more time in front of a computer? Are you spending more time coming up with new ideas? Are you spending time editing other people's ideas? Are you spending time in meetings, talking to people and brainstorming with people? Are you spending time doing presentations? Are you spending time traveling to consult with people, to talk to people about strategy and how to make their processes better and more seamless, right? Like, so what does your day-to-day look like at work? And this one is, I found that the reason why this one can be hard is it's so easy to get stuck into the bubble of thinking of a specific work, specific job title. Right. And that's not what I'm saying here. Don't think of a job title, because the amount of job titles that are available to you in your mind right now are limited. The only job titles that are available to you right now are the jobs that you've been exposed to. And if we think about all the jobs that are available in the world, you haven't been exposed to enough jobs. In your adult lifetime, from personal life to work life, you probably are exposed to 40, maybe 50 job titles over time just from going through day to day. There are like hundreds of different jobs out there. And so it's important that, and this is going to come to the last one, so I'll talk about this later, but when you're doing this day to day, don't think of a specific job, because there are going to be other jobs out there that you will come, like you will expose yourself to in the last thing that you need to know. So for now, when I say day to day, it's really just thinking about how you expend energy, how you are energized, the kind of spaces you want to be in, what you have noticed makes you feel good in the past and what doesn't make you feel good. When I say past, not just your work past, your personal life past, your work past, your vocational past, when you have been volunteering, what have you enjoyed doing in your life? And use that to start to shape, how do I want to spend my days? When I wake up, when I go to sleep, what am I doing? So that work piece is very much, okay, what am I doing at work? Am I working with people? Am I working alone? How am I using my brain? What am I using? What skills am I using? Am I creating things? When I say create, am I creating on a computer? Am I creating on paper? Am I creating with my mind? Am I talking to people? Am I editing speeches? Am I creating speeches? Am I managing people? Am I giving feedback to people? Right? What does my day-to-day look like in a way that I will enjoy? And this one is going to be driven by your skills. So when you start to think of your day to day, you're going to start thinking, okay, what skills do I enjoy using? If I don't enjoy talking to people all the time, I'm not going to enjoy a job where I have to be presenting all the time or be in meetings because I don't like talking. That's not a skill I enjoy using. If I don't enjoy writing, I'm not going to like a role where I have to maybe edit communication pieces or draft communication pieces because that's not a skill I enjoy using. So that's your within work day to day. When you think of outside work day to day, now I want you to think about how do you spend your time outside of work? Either in the morning or in the evening. I say both in the morning and in the evening. When do you wake up? Do you have a morning routine? Is there a way you spend your time? When you come back from work, what are you doing? What does your weekends look like? Are you going on trips? Are you traveling? Are you doing relaxation? Are you working on a garden? Like, what does your life look like outside of work? I think a lot of times when women are trying to figure out their next career move, they forget the fact that your career ideally should not be your life. It should fit into your life. But if you don't know what you want your life to look like outside of work, you can forget to do that piece. You can forget to say, hey, as I'm picking my next career move, what do I want my life to look like when I'm not physically at work? If I think of a year, how often do I travel? Do I travel? Am I volunteering at a certain place? Am I spending time with a religious organization on the weekend? Like, what am I doing with my time? And I find that this one is driven by also your values, but it's really very much going to also be impacted by your compensation at work. So how much are you getting paid? Because sometimes it does come back to money. It's going to be driven by your compensation also. And so it's important that you are aware of, okay, if my lifestyle is one where I don't cook in the evenings, I have a personal chef, I have a personal trainer. On the weekends, I go and I get a massage every month. I do a luxury staycation, or, you know, I am given a certain amount of money to this charity that's really near and dear to my heart, or I'm serving at my church, whatever it may be. Or, maybe I have time in the evenings to just relax with my favorite drink and just sit in a garden and look at my plants, whatever. Like, y'all, this picture, it's whatever you want, right? I don't want to put a box around it. But when you figure out what you want life to look like outside of work, that also helps you figure out what kind of work you're going to do, because then you're going to, you have a picture in your mind, right? You have a picture of, this is what I want my work to look like. So whenever I'm looking at potential roles to pivot into, it has to align with this vision that I've drawn for myself. And so that outside of work, I said, it is impacted by compensation, because a lot of times the things we desire for our lives that we can't do is because we don't have enough money to do it. So one, your compensation, and two, your financial habits. Okay. Are you saving? Are you investing? Do you have a budget? I'm not a financial educator, so just financial habits. But also that outside of work life, the reason why I said the vision is limitless is because that is driven by everything. It's driven by your values. It's driven by your interests. It's driven by your skills. When you sit and think, what do I want my life to look like? You'll start to see what is important to you, see what you're interested in, and see what skills you want to leverage at work. And so that number four is really important to separate it, right? What do I want my day-to-day to look like in work and outside of work? So that way, when you think of your next career move, you already know, well, this is what I want life. So for example, if I said, hey, I want to have time to get home, watch 2 episodes of my show, and then, I don't know, what are my plans before I go to sleep? Yeah, I'm making this up as I go. Well, if I'm in a job where when I get home, I have to do more work, that's not going to align with that vision, right? Like if I leave work, I get home and I have the laptop open, I'm doing more work, it's not going to give me time to watch 2 episodes of my show or to water my garden or whatever I want. And so I can look out for that. When I'm auditing companies and roles for fit, because I have a vision in my head of what I want, I know what I'm looking for. When I talk to organizations, when I go on interviews, when I talk to people who work in organizations, I know the questions to ask them because I know what I'm looking for. And that's, I think, a lot of the gap in when you try to find a job, and I said this earlier, right? When you try to pivot without that scanning, without that clarity, it's you're looking at all these jobs, looking at all these companies, but you have no way to figure out if they're a fit. You have no way to evaluate and see, is this a yes or is this a no? And that just leaves you feeling even more overwhelmed. You know, an analogy that's coming to my mind right now, I think of, so one thing I'm really into right now, y'all, is puzzles. I do a lot of jigsaw puzzles. And I'm doing one right now. And I remember maybe two days ago, I got to a new section where it was like, okay, it's people doing jump rope, right? And I thought, oh, if I find the jump rope, the pieces that have the jump rope on it, I can put that together. And it was like, immediately I told my brain, I'm looking for pieces that have the white jump rope on it. And I was looking at, I just started seeing them white. But it's like, I could easily ignore all the other pieces that didn't have white on it. And I just started picking out the white ones and I put that section together. I think of the same thing with your job. When you start with creating a vision, when you start with what do I want for myself, when you then go out and look at job boards, you have calibrated your brain to look for something specific. And so it becomes easy to say no. And I don't want you to ever underestimate the value of a quick no. When you know what you don't want, you can quickly move on and not waste energy trying to figure out, is this right? Because you know it's wrong. You can move on and focus on what am I looking for? What are the pieces I'm looking for? Okay, so that's the fourth thing that you need to know to find a fulfilling career. It's what does your day-to-day look like, specifically your day-to-day in work and outside of work? And the final thing, number five thing that you need to know before you find a fulfilling career is your timeline. Your timeline is the last thing that you're going to want to know to find a fulfilling career. And when I say timeline, I mean the timeline that you have personally to make this transition, to make this pivot. Are you trying to make this pivot in 4 months? Which, when I talk about the types of transitions here, that may or may not be feasible for you. Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? Excuse me. What is the time frame in which that you are trying to make this pivot into something more fulfilling? And I say timeline because there are four, let me back up and say this. There are four types of career changes you can make. Okay. So if we think of jobs, we have the roles, like every company has different jobs. Like the actual role is graphic designer, teacher, project manager, chief operations officer. Those are the roles. And then we have the industry, healthcare, finance, travel, entertainment. So whenever you're making a pivot, you are going to be changing either in one or both of those two areas, the role or the industry. So if you are just changing roles, so you're not changing industries, actually, let me even say, if you're just changing companies, let me put it this way. So you are going into the same role in the similar industry, you're just changing companies. So if I think of an example, maybe you are an IT auditor at KPMG, which is consultant, and now you want to go be an IT auditor at Ernst & Young, EY. I know the consultant, maybe Deloitte. You know, I'm thinking of the big four, big five. So it's the same role, maybe the same industries, right? Still IT, still auditing, still consultant. You're just changing companies. That's going to be the easiest transition you can ever make because you already have the skill set. You already have the industry knowledge. You're just talking about doing it with a different group of people. Easiest transition by far. That can happen quickly. Now, the next is I'm going from easiest to hardest, but not impossible. Okay. So the next one is if you are changing just your industry. So you're staying in the same role, but you're changing industries. So I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe I am a project manager in education. I think of a client right now. I'm a project manager for a school district, but now I want to go be a project manager for a healthcare company. Okay. So I'm keeping the same role. I'm only changing my industries. Now, the reason why this one is not so hard is because it's the same role, you already have the skill set. And that's what companies are looking for. They don't have to train you in the skill set. You already have it. But you are going to need to learn, okay, I've been speaking education speak for so long. I now need to learn healthcare speak. What is the language they use in the healthcare industry? And that you can pick up fairly quickly if you do enough research by talking to people and online. So that when you go into an interview for this type of transition, it's more just talking about the skills you already have, but using their industry jargon. So that one is not so bad. Okay. When you are going from, when you are changing just your industry, the next type of transition you can make is when you're changing your role. So you're staying in the same industry. If I stick with my example, okay, project manager in education, but I want to go from project manager to instructional designer. And so the reason why this one might be hard is I'm still staying in education. So I have that industry knowledge, but I might need to go develop new skills. If I've been doing project management for a while with instructional designer, I might need to go learn about learning styles, about curriculum design, about communication in terms of teaching the instruction content. So that one is a bit harder because you might need to take a break to learn new skills or take on new projects to learn new skills. And the last transition, which is by far the hardest, is when you're changing both of these things. You're changing the role and you're changing the industry. Again, I say hardest, but it doesn't mean impossible. And the reason why this is hardest is you have to learn new industry jargon, but you also have to learn new skill set at the same time. That's what makes this one difficult. And so I wanted to give you that context because when you are knowing your timeline, the kind of change you're making is going to impact your timeline. If I'm keeping the same role in the same industry, I just realized that the company is the problem, which is that work environment piece, and I just need to change my work environment, then okay, like that's, I can probably make that transition in like 2 to 4 months fairly quickly. But if I'm changing roles and industries, that last one that I said is hardest, I might need time to build my network. I might need time to fill any skills gaps that exist. I might need time to do research on the roles that are available to me. And then I might need time to maybe even build up, I think for any of these, to build up my finances so that I have what I call a financial safety net before I make this transition so that I'm not transitioning out of desperation. I might need a longer time to job search. So my job search might take like 5 to 6 months, if not longer. And so when you know the kind of transition you're making, again, am I changing the role or the industry or both? It helps you start to think about, okay, how long is this pivot going to take? Is it going to be 2 months, 4 months, 8 months, 10 months? Because when you go in with the wrong timeline expectation, it can make the process harder for you. If you go in thinking, oh, I'm going to change roles and industries and I'm going to, boom, make this transition in 2 months. And then 2 months comes, 2 months goes, and you're still where you are. You then start to feel discouraged because it's like, dang, I'm still in this job that I hate. My timeline didn't work out. And then that discouragement can cause you to give up on the desire to find something else. So knowing your timeline really helps you understand, okay, how long is this pivot going to take? What do I need to have in place? And I mentioned them earlier, right? Skills, network, job search strategy, finances. And how can I pace myself throughout this pivot journey so that when I start to try to find a fulfilling career, I know that I don't have to rush it. I know what my timeline is. And so it's almost like I'm thinking that if I go back to what I started with at the beginning, when I said the basketball example, right? It's okay. If I know that I have longer to hold onto the ball, I'm not going to rush to just throw it to somebody who wasn't open. I can really pause and look around. I can hold onto the ball and, you know, plant my feet and really look and see before I make the move. It's important that you know your timeline. Your timeline is impacted by the type of change you're making. Okay, role, industry, or what combination of those are you making? Now, this doesn't mean, I want you to know, this doesn't mean that you're only going to make one transition to get to your goal, right? So when you are working on those first four, right, your beliefs, your ideal work environment, your ideal industry, and your day-to-day, you figure out, okay, this is the kind of role I want. This is the kind of industry I want. It might take you a couple of steps to get there. And that also feeds into your timeline. Because it might be, I need one half step to get into the right industry. And then another half step to get into the right role, and now I've reached my goal. So it's not a one and done process. And that also helps you with the mindset that you go into this strategy, this process, pivot process with. Okay? So those are the 5 things that you need to know to find your fulfilling career. I think it's important to also say, because you know, I talked about how your timeline is impacted by the research that you do to figure out where you want to go next. And I saw something on Instagram yesterday. It was actually a video on Instagram where this guy was talking about how people love to say, go do your own research and forget that doing research is a skill, right? Like you can just do the research, but people are trained and taught to do research. And so that's something to think about when you're trying to find a fulfilling career. It takes a lot of research. And if you don't know how to research careers without getting stuck in the weeds of finding a job, because those are two different things. Researching your career options and finding a job are two different things. And so if you don't know how to do the research, what you find is, and this actually happened to one of my clients, is instead of researching, you are trying to apply to jobs at the same time. And that just gets you bogged down in the weeds. And it's like, you're not learning. Like the whole point of research is to learn, at least career research, is to learn new information so you can make a decision. And so if you don't know how to research, look for the information you need and categorize it and record the data that you're collecting. That's what research is. You're collecting data on the kinds of roles you will find fulfilling, on the kinds of industries you'll find fulfilling. If you don't know how to do that research, you will find that you have a hard time learning what else is available. And that's what I was saying earlier when I said you are probably exposed to 40 to 50 jobs in your adult lifetime. Research is how you expose yourself to more options to see, oh, wait, I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't even know this was a job that I could do this. And so researching in itself is a skill, and I actually teach my clients that skill in Find Your Fulfilling Career. One of my clients is actually just talking about how it was so helpful for her to learn how to research careers. So it's important that you actually learn how to do the research, because when you gather all this information about what you want for yourself, the next step is to see, okay, how does that fit into all the roles or different roles that are out there in the world? But if you don't know how to research, then you won't actually open yourself up to new options. You will keep going back to what you've done in the past and what you've known or thought was available to you in the past, as opposed to trying to pivot into something brand new that you can test out and see if this is what is right for you right now at this stage of your life. So it's important that you, if you don't know how to research careers, it's important that you get that help. Again, I'm here. I would love to help you. I'm always talking about my signature program, y'all. Find Your Fulfilling Career. If you go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, literally everything I just shared with you today is what I help my clients do in that program. Like clarifying your beliefs, the ideal work environment, the values work, the industries, the interests, like everything I just shared that you need to know, I help clients do. And then I teach them how to research. And then they spend a full month doing research with my help, but they do research for a whole month before they plan their transition and plan that timeline that I talked about. And so this is what I help my clients do in my program. So if you go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, or just slide in my DMs, I can tell you more about it. But just know that research is a skill in itself. And so don't let anybody ever make you feel bad if they're like, oh, just research your options. And you're like, okay, but how do I do that? Like, what does that mean? Just research your options. There's a skill set, there's a method to the madness of research. So I just wanted to share that with you as I wait to see if there are any questions or comments. Simply Donna said, this was good for me. Oh, love that. I'm in the middle of looking to change my career. Okay, Donna. Right. If you're in the middle of looking to change, definitely like I'll DM, I'm going to take a screenshot of this, Donna, so that I can grab your handle and I will DM you after, because so that, I don't know if you were here, actually you were here at the beginning. So that, bonus podcast episode I mentioned about, how to make a career pivot when you've been on one path for a while will be very good for you. You should definitely also check out FYFC if you're in the middle of looking to change your career, but you're like not quite sure what that change is going to be yet. That is what my program, Find a Fulfilling Career, helps women do. It helps you make that career change and figure out that career change. But I took a screenshot to grab your handle, so I'll DM you after this live is over and we can chat and see how that process is going for you and if there's any way that I can help you. Okay, you're welcome. My pleasure. I'm glad it was good for you. Okay, y'all. Well, I hope you have a great rest of your week. Again, thanks for joining. And if you missed any part of it, definitely catch the replay on the podcast. Okay? Bye, y'all.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. And I hope you found this conversation helpful. If you're tired of feeling stuck, unhappy, and unfulfilled in a career that feels like it's sucking the life out of you, but you're not sure how to make your transition or even what to do next, I invite you to apply to the next cohort of Find Your Fulfilling Career. FYFC is an exclusive, intimate group coaching program for the woman who is unhappy at work and ready to find a career that allows her to live on purpose and thrive in her zone of genius. Visit findyourfulfillingcareer.com to submit your application today. You can also find that link in the show notes for this episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.